Welcome to the Urban Crossfire Podcast. Today I'm with Zion and your boy Chingy Man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man, we're back.
Yeah, bro. It's been an interesting week.
Yeah.
I've been, like, dude, like, this whole week kind of flew by, but I've been watching a bunch of people just talk about trans people in sports.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me, like, realize how many people who really just don't give a fuck about sports.
What are you watching?
Well, it all started with, like, Aubin Preach. You know Aubin Preach? Mm. Just, like, a dude with dreads and another guy that has, like, I think you've seen a couple of their videos.
He's got, like, short hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know exactly who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah,
They did a reaction with Hassan Piker.
Yeah, they basically react to that video, and I watch them on and off sometimes, like, whenever they show up on my feed. And I watched that video because I saw it, but I didn't watch it when it came out. So I started watching it, and they were like talking, and like before that video, I thought like Hassan was just like some. I didn't know he was like that deep into politics, or whatever. And they basically just go on to talk about how like Hassan's views on trans people in sports. I mean, honestly, it's one of those issues. It's like I don't really think about it, but it makes me. Think in the sense of, like, I understand that when people go into sports, when they are trans, they're not doing anything malicious. Like, they just are people who have body dysmorphia or something along those lines, and they want to be something that they weren't, like, granted. They don't have the privilege to be a girl, because that's really what they want.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do believe there's people that genuinely believe that they're men or women.
Yeah.
Like... Sometimes I thought about, like, could a brain basically, it's like, you know, you were saying yesterday, like, are we basically, like, robots, like, you kind of, like, you have a subconscious and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like your brain's controlling your body. What could be, like, could there be such thing as, like, a female or male brain where it's just kind of born with, oh, shit, yeah. Look at me, I'm this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, like, a conscious overload. It's just like, yo, I don't really feel... what people identify me as. But then, like, when I also first learned about trans people, it made me really think, like, what makes you a guy or a girl, you know, other than biology? So when it comes to terms, like, sports is, like, the only real identifier of, like, biology and the extents, like, certain bodies can go through. Like, it really doesn't matter who you are as, like, a girl, especially, like, with the average height. You can't lift, like, 400 pounds. I mean, I saw a woman do it, actually. I've seen it. But it's one of those things where it's like, dude, there's some guys in high school doing that.
Or, like, dunking. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, it's a huge highlight if a woman dunks in the WNBA.
Yeah. And that's then, what, like, I'm saying. I'm like, if someone who wants to be a trans woman, like, does that, and they were already doing windmills and fucking... dunking and ollie-ooping themselves and shit, and they just come in the sport, like, they're gonna be the biggest fucking highlight in the entire game. And that's not this, like, shame female sports, because, like...
I mean, it's mostly females that want trans people to be in female sports. Could that...
It's mostly trans people who want trans people to be in sports. They want to advocate for anything that trans people would like to do.
Like, trans is, like, a very small population.
It is.
So...
But the argument here is, like, they were saying, like, because I watched that video with Aubin Preach when they were talking about Hassan, which if you haven't seen it, like, you should go watch it. And, like, Hassan just the whole time was calling them transphobes for, like, not necessarily agreeing with the fact that, you know, women or trans women should be in sports, because they're always going to, like, they're not always going to dominate, but, like, they have more of a likelihood. Like, yeah, if you have a body for... like, however many years, 20 years, 21 years, and all time before that, you're, like, working out, building all that muscle, and then that's when you start taking HRT or hormone blockers, you're not going to just lose that muscle twitch, muscle, like, you're just not going to lose that shit. So you're going to go into it, and, yeah, where you wouldn't have ranked, because the person that they were talking about was Leah Thomas, I can't remember her name, but... she couldn't rank above 500 in all of men nationally in swimming. and literally competed a couple times and ranked number one when she transitioned for women.
Shit.
So it's like, like imagine if Michael Phelps transitioned. That oh man gosh. Would win, like, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter who you are. You're just.
I mean, I definitely do believe there is a huge population of females that probably do want trans people, because I think there's not a huge population of females that actually like sports, because they're the majority.
Except for the ones that play sports.
Right. They're the majority, because women are the ones that spend the most in America and shit. So it's a lot of times where women get mad. It's like, oh, why are we not getting paid as much as men? It's like, well, y'all could literally be buying a shit ton of jerseys, watch all the games online, and then y'all would be at the same pay level as men. So it's just like, and then women really don't know about, oh, we're probably stronger than y'all. We can probably compete better than y'all at these other sports. But women don't want to hear it because they probably don't care about it. Yeah. So when they hear the word is just,
they don't
trans people playing women's sports, they just blatantly just say, oh, yeah, we'll just do it. But they don't probably see the outcome of it.
Yeah, the competition.
So I'm going to be honest, like, just let trans people be in it. And then I feel probably within a few years later, there will be, like, another discussion where, like, all right, we should probably just let trans people have their own league or some shit like
that.
Yeah,
and
you know?
That's really what the proposal was in the beginning of this. But then it kind of turned into, after that video, which was I was about to say, but, like, after watching that Hassan video, I saw Destiny, which is a streamer. Who, like, he was on a panel called the Prime Panel of, like, 16 people talking about this topic.
Right.
And there's two guys who basically ended up saying, like, I don't give a fuck about female spaces. I don't care if it ruins female sports. I just want trans people in it. Because their understanding was, oh, yeah, there's already advantages in sports. Like, that's what makes it fun. But at the same time, just, like, imagine if you're competing, right, and you have to get into college or you're trying to get a scholarship and the best way to do that is place, like, 16 or above. But then someone comes in, basically takes first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and now you're 17th, 18th.
You're right.
And now you can't get the scholarship that you want.
Hey, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're definitely right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a way that I saw it, because, I mean, it could always –
But it's just like, you know, it's a hard burial because you can say that, but people don't want to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, that's the thing. Then they go to the stats or the statistics, and that's where they kind of lose me, because a lot of the stuff that they use is inconclusive, you know, and a lot of the things that they say you can agree with, but they hold so hard to these things that when there's any other angle of the topic being discussed, they kind of just lose their bearings.
Right.
But you, like, I would love to see them have their own division.
Yeah.
But there's not enough of them. So it's like, why is this conversation really being had? But it's because there's people that are making waves saying, like, hey, they didn't accept me because I'm trans. There's laws being made that's basically banning people from being trans and playing sports. But that's only because, like, there's nothing definitive right now saying, like, hey, you can fully be a woman and still compete.
That's a hard burial, man. Like,
it's a confusing topic, complicated.
It really
topic.
Is. But it's just, I don't know. Yeah, that would be definitely, like, where they basically take up all the top ranks and then pushes women down the burial, and then they might not even get, like, scholarships for college and shit like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, nationally. Like, okay, who's the best nationally? A trans woman. But for, like, trans man, might as well just let him play. Like, if you want to do that and go and play in the NBA, you can be on the team, but you might not get playing time.
So, like, a woman transitioning to a man, basically?
Yeah, it won't be the same.
She probably might not even make it to the league. I don't
That's
know.
That's what I'm saying. But for trans men or trans women, they will. At least if they were competitive in the sport before. And, like, I think they brought up something which kind of got washed under the bus, or, like, whatever, they basically said, they talked about, like, income inequality and basically said, like, oh, yeah, that can lead to disadvantages in people's, you know, competitive growth. And I was like, yeah, definitely agree with that. But at the end of the day, like, there's no matter what you do, or, like, there was a situation that no one really brought up during this whole debate was, like, someone, because they keep saying, like, oh, you don't see it. You don't see trans people just excelling at sports. And then in that Abba and Preach video, they name, like, two or three people that have, like, done it. Like, there's this female. No, it's a male because they're trans. Who was wrestling throughout high school while they were transitioning, and they had to go against biological girls until they transitioned to be considered a biological boy. And they went 78-0. 78 wins, no losses, taking steroids. Like, that's...
that's... Yeah, man, it's just... I've seen videos, bro, of, like women that do, like, jiu-jitsu or some shit, like, ground combat.
Yeah.
Two women versus, like, they were telling this dude, we can beat you. We can beat you easily. Two against one, we can beat you easily. Man, the dude was wiping the floor with them, bro. They were, like, literally had him on a chokehold, squeezing as hard as they can. This man was right here trying to get this other woman, and then the other woman's, like, right on his back, and they just couldn't put him on. They just couldn't squeeze hard enough, I guess. I don't know.
And that's the thing, because, like, you have situations like that, and then you have another situation where in the UFC you have Fallon Fox, who has, like, I think 5 wins, 1 loss, but all of her wins are knockouts, and she's almost caved someone's skull in, and she's not even that good technically. So, like, where do you draw the line with this shit, man?
I don't know, man, just...
Because if someone's, like, more real, like, realist or, like, pessimistic about it, they automatically will just claim that this person is like, yo, this isn't, like, you're not actually a girl, or you're not actually a boy type thing. And they'll just hound that. And that's really where I think a lot of these governors or senators are looking at it, because they're more conservative. They're like, yo, they're outside of the whole realm of, like, conversation about it. They don't, like, as soon as they hear it, they're just automatically pessimistic about it. But I really don't know what kind of effect it would have on sports, especially, like, women's sports, because you have sports and then you have women's sports. So I just don't know what it would do to female sports.
Probably devastated. I don't know. I mean, I think, like, for WNBA, if you let the trans people to go into it, bro, you're probably going to see more competitive play. You're going to see more dunking. You're going to see a lot of that shit. And then...
them being, like, the focal point of the whole team. Yeah. Playing, like, 40 minutes.
And, I mean, I said before, I think it's mostly women that want trans people to go into the women's sports. So, if they want it, it's just... I believe probably, like, if they just... if they made a law tomorrow, they just say trans people can officially, in any sport, go into female sports at any age, I think, like, within 5 years, probably women will get mad and stuff. And then it's gonna start an uproar, and then probably people like Hassan Piker or some shit, people that, like, heavily wanted trans people to go into these women's sports, they might have some...
he doesn't care about sports, too. But that's the thing with him. Yeah. He seems as if he, like, doesn't really care about what it is.
Right.
He just, like, cares about espousing his opinion. Because he passes, a lot of the time, he passes his opinion off as fact. He even tried to use the example of Messi using, like, steroids to combat dwarfism as an example of someone using, like, things like steroids to make an advantage in sports. It's like,
did Messi do steroids?
Yeah, when he was younger, much younger.
Yeah, he was younger to grow, but...
yeah, that was it. But he tried to use that as an example to a lot to, like, trans people being in sports. Just like, what?
Bro, I honestly think even if a dude takes steroids in soccer, bro...
It won't matter.
It won't matter, because you gotta have a high IQ in soccer. Like, you can be buff and all this shit, but if you just don't know how to read a play.
Like Adama Toure, man. Like, fast as shit, buff as shit. But his team,
like,
his team isn't like.
You saw Usain Bolt. Did you see he actually played for Melbourne Victory?
Oh, yeah.
He played for like 5 games. He was actually pretty good, I'm not going to lie, but his IQ wasn't the best. I guess if he should have learned the game more, but at the same time, this man's basically tall, fastest man, but it takes more than that. And this was like some subpar league, really, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
And that's an actual interesting, like, combat to the idea of even trans women dominating sports, because there is, like, something that they brought up on the panel where they talked about technique. It's like, yeah, in certain sports, like, it really doesn't matter if you just transition. Like, if you weren't already excelling, you probably aren't going to be that good. But at the same time, your buffer to success is much, much smaller. Because you have conditioning, you have all those other things.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting topic, though, but
I like to see it in action, man. Just to, like,
I want, like, contrast and compare. I'm going to be honest, bro. Like, I want to see this shit in soccer. Like I haven't seen, like, I've seen, like, women versus men in sports. But, like, I haven't seen, like, I want to see, like, an actual game on ESPN or, like, fucking Fox, like, where it's, like, the U.S. women's national team. And then they have, like, some trans people. I haven't seen a game yet. I mean, pretty sure there is, but, like, I want to see them, like, play.
There was a video. I don't remember what soccer player it was. I think it was Mo Salah. It was somebody from the Premier League, and they were going against, like, the team of U16 of another Premier League females team, and it was just him. And he was just...
Yeah, he negged this chick or some shit.
He just
kept
doing it. Like, I was like, yo, there's... It's a team of, like, 5 or 6 against one dude.
I even saw this one video where, like, a basketball team never played soccer. They played against this, I mean, they're not pros, female, like, female team. They were wiping the floor against them, bro. And I was like, damn, that, like, these guys never played, bro. And it's just, oh, man, like, I don't know.
And bro, I don't know what to say anymore. It's just one of those things where.
I think women can be managers. Like, dude, women can definitely be managers.
They really
shit.
Could,
I haven't seen no women be a manager in pro men's soccer, but I think they can definitely be managers, referees, and some shit like that.
Or they can understand the sport.
Yeah, if you can understand the sport, I think it's not different to coach a men's team.
Yeah, it's really not. So,
which I don't know if there's any regulations with women being a coach on a men's. I don't know.
Like, other than that, this week I read, I decided to pick up the 48 Laws of Power and read a couple chapters of that again. It's an interesting chapter. I think it's rule number 9, or law number 9, where they talk about, like, never lead through your argument, but through your actions. And they, like, talked about, or he talked about a time in history during one of the Athenian Wars. There was a... wartime engineer. So he basically was an engineer for, like, ships and weaponry and stuff like that. And the, like, one of the councilmen during that time was like, hey, we're gonna breach this, like, neighboring village or whatever, and we're gonna use one of their bigger masts. So I want you guys to bring one of those from the engineer and bring it to me. And they went to the engineer, and they were telling the engineer, like, hey, we need a bigger mast. And he's like, okay, what are you trying to do? And he's like, okay, we're trying to breach this gate. He's like, oh, well, you should use a smaller mast. And then he, like, drew out a diagram, and he's like, yo, this is why it would work. The smaller mast will be able to bring more force, and you won't be losing as much resources. Like, we'll be able to use the bigger mast to basically overwhelm them if we do need to use it. And they were like, nah, he's very adamant. The councilman's very adamant about we using the bigger mass. And he's like, dude, I don't know why he would want it. It's just, it's not going to work the way that he thinks it's going to work. And mind you, he's like a wartime engineer. He knows this stuff.
Right.
He, like, draws out diagrams of exactly why. And the soldiers are just like, dude, just make the bigger mass. We're going to go now. So he tells them to send the bigger mass. And what he ends up doing is sending the smaller mass because he knows it's going to work. He's a scientist in this shit, basically. And once he gets there, the councilman's like, what the fuck? I told you guys to get the bigger mass. Like, what the hell is this? And he's like, well, the engineer kept saying how much better it's going to work, but, like, he wouldn't listen to us, basically. So then he tells the soldiers to go get the the engineer. Engineer comes, and he, like, shows him the whole diagram, tells him why it's going to work, and explains it to him. And then the councilman ends up, like, killing him. Like, he kills him. And then come to find out, when they actually enact the plan, it turns out that the smaller mass would have worked better. But he literally only killed him because, I mean, I think one of the first rules in, like, the 48 Laws of Power is, like, never oversee the master or some shit. So, it's like, it's basically an ode to that law as well. But the whole interpretation was basically, like, it doesn't really matter what you think about a situation or, like, how you feel or even how much you can prove. Like, if it falls on deaf ears, it's going to fall on deaf ears. And even when you're planning some working out, that guy's probably going to say, oh, I'm the guy who came up with the idea, even though he knew.
Was that the guy that they said created electricity?
Thomas Edison?
Thomas Edison. He stole a lot of ideas from other people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he made that interpretation, basically said, like, hey, there's really no reason to argue with people who don't want to hear what you're saying. And I thought about that law a lot when I was reading, like, watching these debates, because there was so many people who, like, in the first couple minutes of the debate, like 18 minutes, they were trying to reconfigure a point that was made by someone. Because one of the first points that was made when I got into the debate was, oh yeah, a lot of conservative people have ideas that basically lend or contribute to harassment or encourage people, trans people, to commit suicide. So, which is, it's a maximalization, really, because you're basically saying someone's opinion is making people kill themselves. And then there was somebody else who was just like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, why would you bring that up? Like, I'm not doing that, and I'm a conservative. I don't know anyone that, like, has opinions that lead to people's suicide. But they were spending 18 minutes literally saying, like, hey, that's not what I meant. This is what I meant. They were doing, like, tis and tisn'ts the entire time. And someone even went as far as to say, like, no one ever said that when someone literally said it. So it was just, like, I was thinking about that law because it's just, like, people really don't, when they want to be right, bro, they will argue themselves.
Comes one ear and comes out the other with some other person's argument, yeah.
Because I think people want to be morally right. They don't even really just want to be, they don't want to base things off of logistics. They just want people to feel comfortable as who they are, even if it is like a, you know, spectrum of delusion.
I be seeing Jordan Peterson, he says, like, in debates, don't try to change the other person's mind.
Yeah.
Just hear what they have to say.
And respond.
And go to, like, the point where you're trying to learn from them and kind of, like, see their point of view.
Yeah,
because I see a lot of the times with, like, in radio and stuff, like, these women be really getting mad at him. He's like, so you're saying this? So you're, like, they cut him off every single time.
Yeah, man. And what bugs me the most is, like, he's not some dude who just, like, writes blogs and then you invite him on. Like, he's someone who is a professional in this field. He's had clinical patients. He's worked with a number of organizations. He's written papers on this stuff. So it's kind of weird for them to make him the enemy out of these opinions. Or, like, they kind of make him the enemy out of it. And it's just one of those things where, like, every time I see something new about how much people hate Jordan Peterson. Well, actually, what's funny is, like, in the debate, they actually said, oh, it's, you're talking like Jordan Peterson. Like, get to the point. Just monologues. Just, like, not everything could be captured in a 30-second quip.
Right.
And a lot of you guys really don't care about statistics or logistics or anything like that. A lot of you are just really talking with emotions.
Right.
And that's just the sad part about it, because you see Jordan Peterson and, like, who he is, and, like, people hate this guy. But, like, I didn't find out about him because of debates or, like, him being on panels or him owning other people. Like, I found out about him because he was, like, interpreting Pinocchio. I was like, yeah, I never, oh, really? Never thought about this.
I forgot how I found out about him. I don't know.
But yeah, it's interesting to to see how people are. But it's one of those things where, like, I would read Robert Greene, and then I'll hear other people saying, this is what toxic men read. I'm just like, what?
Does him and 50 Cent have a new book coming out? I think him and 50 Cent came out with a new law, though. I know about that. Yeah, but I don't know.
The 50th law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the law is, but yeah.
I saw it at the Barnes & Noble when I was there last time. Yeah. Yeah, I think he writes some pretty good books. And a lot of people use it to say, like, hey, this is a book that you use to manipulate people. But then I refer to the idea of, like, law number 9. It's just like, no, you use certain laws to realize how someone could possibly, like, either harm you or even manipulate you.
Right.
Like, you don't use it as a factor of, like, how you approach things. I mean, you can, because that is the theme of the book. Like, these are the 48 laws you would have to maintain if you want to, you know, hold or occupy power. Or these are the traits that you would have to recognize in order to pursue the art of seduction, or these are the laws that you would have to understand human nature, which are all books that he's written. So, I mean, that is the theme. That's the premise. It's not, oh, yeah, I'm going to teach you how to manipulate people. Like, it's not mentioned once. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, I heard it in the audiobook. I definitely got to get back to it because I forgot. I don't even know that law. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, it's one of those books that you got to, like, hear or read multiple times. Because when I first read about it, to me, it kind of, like, some of the law sounded a little bit contradicting, where it's just like, okay, if you take this law but also use the other law, mm-hmm. then back in those times, you could either get yourself killed if you used both laws together or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's one of those things where you don't will it to be. It's, like, it's more situation-based, because I remember there's, a law, or at least a story in the book where he talks about someone who was basically, he was like a friend or a really good friend of a king, and that guy gets power, and I don't know if the guy was jealous of him or he just thought he could run it better, but he convinced his whole council to basically kill him. And, like, I see that all the time in, like, TV shows or movies or, like, anything that really talks about, like, drug kingpins or whatever. Like, you have a dude who's, like, your day one, and he just turns on you because he doesn't like how you're running shit.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something that can happen. I mean, almost all the interpretations he uses are based off of actual history. Yeah. It's not just out of his ass. Mm-hmm. I think that's really how people kind of trudge it up to say, like, you're toxic if you read this, because you're not really contributing anything. You'll never be important enough to implore these ideals, so why are you learning them, type thing.
Bruh. Those type of people are just, man, that's just toxic as fuck, man. People be thinking like that. I'm like, man, I can't really hang out with you, man.
Yeah.
Just negative all the time, bro.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's what you see with, like, a lot of people that are trying to, what they say is, like, even with Hassan, he went in for an interview and he's like, yeah, I'm open-minded about a lot of topics. I think I've brought on an audience positively. And then, like, if you watch the Abin Preach video, as he's saying that, they clip in a video where he's literally telling someone who is trans, telling how his interpretation kind of, like, fogs up their mind or their own self-identity. And he tells him, he's like, well, I hope that all your days are worse than this one. And it's like, he just goes in on this dude. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, how can you say, like, oh, yeah, I'm positive and everything.
Right.
And then say shit like that to someone you're saying you're advocating for it. It's like, what?
There was one where he was saying that, like, everybody's a homophobe automatically.
Oh, yeah. transphobic, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Transphobic, my bad, yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, before 2016, I didn't know that shit even existed. I didn't know. I had, like, a small idea of, like, butch women or tomboys. I knew, like, a lot of tomboys when I was younger. But they weren't, like, people who were like, yeah, I'm a guy. They were people who just had masculine traits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they still liked other guys, and they were girls, but they had masculine traits.
Right.
And, I mean, I knew about drag and stuff like that, but I never knew it to an extent where, like, oh, yeah, those are drag people who like guys, you know, but, you know, majority of the time they identify as a guy. But it wasn't until I started, like, watching Jerry Springer after school where I found out, like, yeah, there's people who all day, every day are, like, the opposite gender, even though their biology akin to something different. So yeah. It's one of those things I'm not, like, against. I'm not going to try to hound you on how you live your life. Like, fuck that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if someone is confused about it or, like, doesn't want it to grow more than what it is, where it starts messing with already established stuff, then I can also understand that, too. Because, I mean, I'm not participating in those spheres, but I'm also not going to be the guy to have, like, pitchforks walking to, like, take someone's house down because they're gay or some shit. Like, that just, it sounds like a waste of fucking time.
I always put the stance where, like, just don't do it with the kids and stuff, bro. Because, like, some of these parents are like, oh, this boy likes to play with dolls.
So you must
he must be trans. Yeah. Let's try to, like, transition him. Yeah. I'm like, I can tell you dead ass, like, when I was a kid, bro, I would play with dolls, like, 24/7. Because my sister had a bunch of toys, and I would just be playing with that shit all the time. Because, like, I like playing with dolls.
That's just how kids are.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's crazy, like, what if I was born in a different type of household where they would look at that and then try to transition me?
Like, or even get, like, mad at you.
Yeah, to me, it's like, if you're of age, like, 18 and older, and if you want to transition, it's fine, bro. Like, I don't see how people can get mad at that shit. Like, bro, these guys are grown-ass men, or grand men or women, like, they just want to do that. It's not going to hurt anybody else.
But it really isn't hurting
to me. It's
anymore.
Like, if it's a kid and then I see a stance for, like, nah, bro, you should wait. Like,
you should allow them to find it out on their own. And that's another thing, too, because, like, I've seen it in people. Like, I remember I saw someone in middle school who swore up and down that they were gay. And now they are pregnant by a dude and have been with that guy for, like, 5 years. So, I mean, it's one of those things that can change. But, like, I've also seen the perspective of someone who's transitioned and didn't like themselves for it and, like, regretted the decision. So it's, like, it has to definitely be something you decide on your own. And if it gets that far where you are taking hormone blockers, doing HRT, don't let it be something that was decided for you. Like, oh, yeah, if you're calling yourself trans, this is the route you have to take. Like, no, don't do that shit. It's definitely something that has to be a choice.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And that's kind of what makes me upset about some of these fears, because you have people who are in total advocacy of it, but then you also have people who are, like stripping people of that identity because they don't act or believe in the same things they do. Like, oh, you're not recognized. Or even another thing that was brought up, because Destiny, because of his outlook on trans sports on that panel, he got banned off of Twitch, which is crazy. So they had a whole nother panel basically talking about him being banned. It's like, and then they were relating to him to, like, Nazis and jihadists. Like, they literally, bro.
Yo,
it was one of the, and that's when you called me. Like, that's what I was listening to when you called me. And I was just like, what? Like, bro, if you guys must have not played fucking Call of Duty in 2008, 2009, like, the shit that was said on there, bro.
Yeah, I watched some clips. I never played it at that time, but, like, I heard that shit was...
And they were kids. Like, they were niggas that drank chocolate milk at 12 p.m. for lunch and shit. Like, they had to actually go to the bathroom, and they were out here calling people the F word, all types of fucking slurs and everything.
Right.
And, like, one of the guys brought that up on the panel, and he's like, yo... Like, people will say that. You can't really, like, kind of morale lighten strike them to never say those things ever again. But, like, you also have to understand there's people in that community who would be affected if someone that isn't a part of that community said that, who say it to each other. And once he said that, I, like, thought about my time when I used to be on Yuba. I used to, like, get on live calls with this clique of people, and they were, like, They like taught me all types of words. It's like Mbe, which is basically a type of neo pronoun that, like, identifies somebody. I totally forget, like, the whole definition of it, but, like, I was chilling with them, and they would just passively call each other the F word. Be like, you effing F word. I'm like I felt uncomfortable, bro. Like, I had hands up, just like, what? Like, whoa. But that's literally how they communicated to each other.
Right.
And it just, it kind of, it swayed my, like, outlook on it, because I would also think about how, like, people from the community that my skin color resides in, black community, black culture, is just people calling each other the N-word as, like a, it's like passive. It's just one of those things that comes with a greeting or, like, anything like that. Like, it's how someone grows up, especially in community. So I would think about, like, imagine if a white person grew up around those same people. Like, are they, like, they're still harping about around, like, the same inefficiencies of their community. Are they allowed to say it?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. When I see a white person saying it, I just be
it's,
like,
it's weird, right?
Yeah.
But it
sounds weird.
It's
but
definitely a difference when you see that person has, like, grills and they have, like a certain type of hair and they wear, like, different clothes. They don't wear fucking boat shoes. They're not like they're not like a preppy suburban kid who's right. just using it because he hears it in music. Like, he's right. genuinely a person who grew up around other black people saying it every single day that hang out with him. And it's like, what's wrong with that?
Right.
But then that's a whole conversation in itself.
Right.
Because you have people who grew up in the suburbs that are black who really hang out with white kids, and now they're the token black kid and the only person allowed to say the N-word.
I never thought about it like that. Are they allowed to say? Well, I guess.
But that's the question. Are, like, are they? Like, I don't know. But then people, they claim it to be one of those things where it's like, oh, well, I'm taking it back because it was, you know, a word used to oppress people in my community.
I mean, I would definitely say it probably isn't the best word to use.
Yeah, in general.
Because, what was it? Wasn't it created by the white people to kind of, you know, put you down and stuff?
Yeah, tracing the epidemiology was created by the Spaniards. And it was the...
Oh, the N-word was created by the Spaniards?
Yeah, it was used to describe ignorance.
How do you even say... Spaniards created the N-word? It just doesn't even sound like saying it in Spanish.
It was N-I-G-G-E-R. It doesn't even sound right.
Like, you can barely even say that in Spanish. I've never heard somebody like just.
That,
somebody
I mean,
that
that's what I saw when I looked it up, but.
Right. I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Is, you know.
I don't know. I'd be pulling my hair out. But anyway. It's one of those things where there's just a bunch of confusion, but there's at the same time people with definitive opinions about it.
Right.
Like, a lot of things that could really be up to how you feel about it, and but there's people who are very, very serious. Like, if I hear you saying it and you aren't black, I'm going to smack you. But it's okay for someone who's only met you once or twice to call you that. And it's one of the most popular things used in music. It's just like, dude, I bet you there's a bunch of white people. When they're alone, they're listening to...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Niggas in Paris, they're definitely saying it.
Like, going to a concert, bro. Like, yeah. These people would just be saying it. And they're not, like, you know, I guess you know how saying, like, they're dressed the way they're dressed. Like, preppy kids, bro. They're wearing, like, orange fucking shorts.
Yeah.
Orange shorts, bro. A little polo shirt with, like, a hat. Like, bro, there's no fucking way these guys are from the hood or something. I don't know. Like, they're just... There's no way, and they just say it. They blur it out easily, and I'm like, ugh, I don't know.
And there's no one, like, there's no policing of it in those situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I was.
It'd be weird, like, if I was, like, in L.A., people saying, like, white people saying essay and shit. I don't know. I don't really care if a white person really says it. I would be kind of weirded out if I first met you and you say essay.
I'm yeah, like it's like that episode in Atlanta, like the first season where he meets that white dude who works at the stereo, the radio.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't know what to say to this dude.
Yeah. Or like, or like when they tell a black person, we're like, you sound white. I'm like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I hear that often.
I'm like, bro.
Like, when I was a kid and I used to say, like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and I would talk the way that I talk, I would have family members who say I sound white because I don't have, like, a specific accent or, like, anything.
Shit.
Even when I moved to New York and I had a stepsister, she would, like, I said, can I have a pop? Because I was from Ohio. I called soda pop. And she was like, you want a what? And I was like, a pop. And then she hit me. She hit me in the face. What I was like, what the fuck? Like, why'd you hit me? She's like, it's called soda. I'm like, you knew what the fuck I was talking about. And, like, I had so many situations just like that, like, as I moved around. And it just made me realize, like, even in elementary school, there's people who are, like, taught to think this way. Like, we're not even taught to just accept things as they are.
You know? Yeah.
Like, we're always really taught to, like, if you're not on this side, you must be on that side. Like, if someone doesn't, if they hear you talk against, like, socialism, they think you're, like, an alt-right capitalist. It's so weird. It's like, no, bro, we've seen the examples in it over and over again. And unless you're talking about unionization, and what's also very weird is, like, you hear people have these kind of opinions, and they don't even know the full spectrum of what is they're really saying they are. So I really think it's one of those things where, like I said about Christians, like, you can't say, like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's like, yeah, you hold that belief, but are you working to be one?
Right.
Like, it's not one of those things you could just say, oh, yeah, all throughout my whole life I've been a Christian. It's like, no, last week you were gargling balls in that bag. Like, you know, like, you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
If I were to know you and see your whole life, I wouldn't say you're Christian through and through. So it's one of those things you have to say, I'm working to be. Just like how Jordan Peterson says, like, if he's asked about it, do you believe God exists? He's like, I live as if he does.
Right.
I'm not going to claim, like, oh, yeah, I am a Christian, or, oh, yeah. It doesn't really make sense.
Right.
But to some other people, it does. So, I mean, I've gotten to a point where I don't really feel like arguing with people about certain stuff.
Right.
Because it goes nowhere. It's a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't want to be constructive. They just want to say, like, just spill their gut with all of what they know. And when they run out of talking points, they just start calling you slurs.
Right.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. Brought to you by Pepsi.
Shit, man. If somebody hears this, man, I hope it's not that wrong person. We're like, oh, shit, ban this motherfucker.
Yeah, but that's interesting how it could be that way, too, because I haven't said anything where it's like, oh, yeah, go and target these people. Throughout this entire podcast, we've basically said, like, hey, it's okay if you do that, but don't let it be decided by the group you reside in. Like, don't. Like, let it be a decision you make on your own.
Right.
Have that autonomy. Value yourself to understand that you can make a choice for yourself. Because I saw a lot of people in high school who just found out what it was and said that they were that. They didn't.
Have you seen that with TikTok and shit? Like, this woman that said she had what's that thing where you have, like, a lot of tics and stuff?
Tourette's.
She said she was having Tourette's. Famous TikToker. Turns out she didn't have Tourette's.
She was making the whole thing up.
And I was just like, I think there's a huge problem with self-diagnosis.
Yeah, definitely. Huge problem.
And
definitely.
I think with, like, a lot of artists are kind of pushing that depression stuff out where it's kind of making it cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like my opinion, but like, it sounds like it. And it's just like, I don't think it's that positive, like, really. Like, I don't know.
No, because we've completely erased the ideas of finding depth through social, like, experience. We kind of add depth by saying we are these things.
Right. Like, people are adamant, kind of almost like trying to put a label on themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, I'm pretty sure probably people that have Tourette's really don't want this, but I guess people that don't have it, they want to be in some type of group, and I don't know. It's just,
They want to add more flair to their character, more spice.
More spice.
Like, yeah, and what's also interesting to me is, like, how people are very, like, a lot of the things they say they have don't always last. Like, you give them, like, a couple hours and they feel completely different, will say something completely different.
Right.
And I just feel for them because, like, I really wish you had someone to talk to if you really are going through stuff, but it almost seems like you don't want the issue resolved. Kind of want to use it as, like, an anchor to find yourself again. Or it's, like, it's habitual where you're just like, yeah, this is what I'm going to blame my unproductivity on or my laziness on. Like, yeah, I clearly can't do anything. I have ADHD. It's like, oh, you've been diagnosed? Do you take Adderall? Like, no, no. But I know, because I saw this test on TikTok, you see? Like, it's like, that's genuinely,
Oh my god,
bro. It sucks. It sucks for it to be that way, but that's genuinely how it is.
Right.
And there's no argument against it because there's so many people that are doing that.
Right. Oh man.
That's what you have to mean to become, because I mean, like, life isn't easy. It's definitely not easy. And you can't, like, necessarily, like, it's physically impossible to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, you need some type of support system. You need a reason. Like, your brain is literally wired for you to, like, follow habits. Like, they say almost 85% of the thoughts you have are, like, the same thoughts you had yesterday. So, it's like, you are a habitual being. Like, if you get trapped in that three-week span of you doing the same shit, that's probably how you're going to be, unless you decide to act differently. Consistently decide to act differently.
Right.
So, it's just hard for people to hear, because then they're like, oh, everything's, like, my fault? Like, yeah, sometimes.
Shit. Yeah.
And that's a key. That's a key right there. Sometimes stuff's your fault. But you really can't pass all of your issues off to the fact of, like, oh, yeah, the socioeconomic thing, like, socioeconomics, or, oh, my gosh, like, the state of the world, like, climate change. Like, how can I worry about myself if, like, the world's burning? It's just like... It's from within that you figure out a lot of these problems, bro.
Right.
Like, it's kind of funny when so many people that don't know much about socialism also don't... who think they know a lot about socialism also don't know about, like, the game of money or how money is made or the fact that they're, like, Social Security can... they can sign it off and do a whole bunch of shit with it.
Yeah.
Or, like, all these other stipulations that basically say that banks can't legally lend you money because they are the borrowers. Like, these are things written inside of fucking law codes. Like, there's so many stuff that if you really took the time... I literally saw a dude in real time do it on TikTok where he, like, bought his Tesla through this whole, like, deed that he found and shit. And, like, he has, like, this thing for his car. It's like... Dude, I can't even really explain it, but how he just read this book and, like, learned all this stuff. Like, yo, there's knowledge, like, laying between two covers, like.
So you got a lot of YouTube University, bro. That's what I'm trying to do, like, at my job, though. Now, like, I just put a bunch of stuff, like, I'm reading the story of John and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I'm probably going to put the 48 Rules of Power so I can reread that again. And the other one's, like, Never Split the Difference, I think, with the X, yeah. X, Kidnap Negotiator.
Oh yeah, I saw his thing where he wants to teach people.
Yeah, where he was like
masterclass.
Yeah, he was like saying always pick the place and environment or some shit because you can kind of control that. And if you want to know something from somebody, if they just say like, oh yeah, we got a car that we're gonna use to escape, and he's like, you got a car to use to escape? He's like, yeah, we're going to use the car to escape, and then we're going to go here. They kind of self-snitch.
Yeah.
People that, like, kidnap other people or some shit, they kind of self-snitch, like, when you're negotiating. You kind of make people to...
I think one of the things he said was, like, yeah, repeating stuff. Like, repeating stuff or, like, having them kind of trust you is really what you're trying to do.
Right.
As a negotiator. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to read that one. And yeah, those are the ones that I want to hear right now. And I'd be hearing occasional podcasts like Therapy Gecko. He'd be funny.
Yeah, oh,
I like listening to him.
He's profound sometimes too.
Yeah, he's cool, man.
His whole like demeanor is like just, it's so surprising like to see the people like get on there. I remember there was one guy, I'll have to show you after a podcast maybe, but this dude just came on. He was like, "Yeah, man, I like dragon dildos."
He likes dragon dildos.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that even look like?
Dude,
what?
They were like talking about like pegging.
Uh-huh.
And he just got on. He was like, yeah, my girlfriend, she pegged me. Or like, no, he was like, there was a guy before, he's like, I'm never going to let my girl peg me.
Uh-huh.
Like that. And then the guy after him was just like, yo, you should let your girl peg you. It's great. And then he's like, what the fuck? But yeah, I just love like the whole idea of like opening up a line. He's like, yeah, call me. Let's talk.
And you we should have, like, do that, bro. Team. We should do that later.
Yeah, that's what I wish Yuba was like, but...
Open up a call line and just have people calling us with their stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, guys, we're probably going to do that. So probably look up in the near future. Phone line. Dress up as fucking
train engineers. Like, yo, come get on the train. It's gonna be a long ride.
Right.
Just put like some rain sounds in the background, like, hey, call in.
I kind of want to do what, like, Adam's doing, bro, like, with his channel. He has, like, now he's almost like a media company now where he has, like, other people. He's got, like, the No Jumper Show. He's got the Shark Tank. He's got these two people that host, like, a rap battle now. So that's a new show. And then he's got three with, it's, like, him and three other friends that they have their own show. They had, like, Wiz Khalifa on and everything. And Adam was not in that.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, there's probably some interesting people in Atlanta where I can just, like, help them out where I can just put them in. And
put them on.
Yeah.
Urban Crossfire.
Yeah.
Media company.
That'll be cool, man.
Do music. I sell cakes on the corner. I lost a cookie in a rap battle.
It is.
I really think that all it boils down to is dedication and confidence. Like, I do think in some facets of life you do have to be delusional, because there will be people that just come up to you telling you how to live. And, I mean, Nietzsche talks about that. He, like, talks about killing thou shalt, which is like a dragon with golden scales that has, like, commandments written all over it, basically. It's like you have to kill that to get through it. Like, you have to be able to get through it in order to then transform again. But you have to be the lion that's willing to do it. You have to have enough oomph in you, predator mentality type shit. Whereas, I mean, you know, someone with a different goal could read that same thing and be like, yeah, I'm going to maybe kill my boss. Like, there's genuine people who are people, like that.
Yeah, man. Just, yeah, and then I guess in today's modern world, it's like, yep, we got to cancel that person because, like, did you hear when, I guess that person in Australia did that mass shooting in a church or some shit, and then, like, at the end, like, he was confessing what he was about to do before, like, he made a video before doing that, and then, like, at the end, he was like, shout out PewDiePie, and then people wanted to cancel PewDiePie.
What?
Because of that. What so it's just, fuck? Like, you know, it's just,
that's the same guy. That's the same thing with, the, like, the Brooklyn dude. He, like, made a whole video talking about, like, Nicki Minaj and, like, fucking 6ix9ine and shit. And I'm like, the fuck? And then he does that on the train where he, like, blows up the smoke bomb and starts shooting people. Like, what the fuck? Like, there's people who are crazy like that, dude.
Right.
That have regular-ass jobs and, you know, answer to people. Like, Joker was a movie that kind of, like, highlighted that as a thing. Like, yeah, there can be dudes that you kind of fuck over, don't pay attention to, and they see that as, like, a form of, yeah, I'm gonna get you one day. Like, that's why I want to nomad this shit, kind of. I want
to
just
be nice to people, bro, and if you have a group of friends, really just kind of solidify it where,
yeah, you trust them, and, like,
yeah, man, keep it very small, and even the people that you probably talk to, like, maybe coworkers, or maybe you see the person at Starbucks every time you get a coffee and you guys say hi to each other or text each other occasionally, I wouldn't say call them a friend, just call them a peer.
Associate.
Yeah, associate.
Yeah, so, acquaintance.
Yeah. So, I guess don't use the word friend too often.
Yeah. So, I think a lot of people do that. They, like, pass it off as, like, best friend. And, like, I definitely learned from watching things like Jerry Springer, like, bro, even relatives can, like, fuck you over. Like, yeah, your relative, your cousin that you brought in because he was homeless, he's fucking your wife. And she's doing it on the low-low. And, like, when you find out, she gaslights you the whole time, making you feel like you don't do shit. You don't clean the house. That's why I fucked your cousin. Like, what? What? But that's literally their fucking talking point. Like, what?
That's, like, some narcissistic shit,
it
bro.
Really is.
It's like, you're not putting the blame in yourself, bro. You're just trying to find other ways.
And they only do that when they get caught. And, exactly. Like, they do it really because they don't want to feel like they pursued this whole thing with malicious intent. Because at the beginning, they probably did feel pretty bad about it. But it was one of those things where it's like, damn, I'm not getting caught. And he doesn't suspect anything. So I'm just going to.
Yeah, I was seeing this other one where they had this one caller. And then it was this woman, she was saying, hey, I just had a child and it's not my husband's. And it's my ex-boyfriend that I had before my husband. And we've been on and off for like 2 years, just like fucking and stuff. And then he caught me one time and I said, sorry. And then he's just like, okay, I forgive you. And then I guess she saw that way as saying it's an open relationship. So it's just like, I'm like, bro.
Dude, and you really don't know how to gauge that. Because, I mean, I feel like communication is also important, but, like, you genuinely cannot be a mind reader. Like, there's people who are like that. And, like, have you ever seen the TV show Scenes from a Marriage?
No.
If anybody ever wants to, like, see what that looks like for, like, a marriage where there's someone who's so undecided, like, they're so... What's a word where you can't decide? It's like indecisive.
Indecisive, yeah.
They're so indecisive, like, that it, like, brings them and overwhelms them. So there's this lady in Scenes from a Marriage, right, where her husband's, like, this kind of philosophical thinker. He, like, has a whole – he teaches classes on philosophy, basically. And he gets into these conversations and he talks at parties and stuff. And, like, it seems like they're – you know, all right, like, but there's a point in which he wants to have another kid because he already has one with her already, and she can't, like, have a kid. Like, her body just won't support it, so right. She keeps having miscarriages and stuff. And there's this one scene that they highlight in the show where they're at the doctor, and the doctor comes in and tells her, like, hey, like, it doesn't look like you're going to be able to take this full term. And you can see, like, the husband, he walks in, he's, like, a little irritated by this. And she, like, kind of notices that. And he doesn't blatantly say he's... Because he, like, of course, you're a dad and you want another kid. And your wife can't give you another kid. You're going to be kind of, like, sad about it. It's not one of those things where he's just using her as a baby-making machine. He's like, I'm deciding to have a kid with you because I think we could be good parents. So it's not one of those things where he's just pumping out because he wants to see himself everywhere. It's like, no, it's just he wants to have a kid with you because he loves you. But she saw it as... like, oh, he just wants to use me for babies, basically.
Right.
Or at least that's what I surmised out of it. Because what ends up happening is that she goes on a business like trip, comes back. Everything's fine. He's like, yeah, I made this spaghetti for our daughter. You want some? She's like, no, I'm okay. I eat on the train. And he's eating the spaghetti, and he's, like, watching this video. And she's like, oh, I might as well get some. So she gets some of the spaghetti, and then she tells him, like, yeah, I've been cheating on you with one of my colleagues, and I'm going to leave with him for Budapest tomorrow. Like, the same night she got back, she tells him this. And he, like, looks at her, he's like, what? He's like, whoa, 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 like, can we talk about this? Like, what are you saying? Because she's basically breaking up with him. And their daughter's asleep, and he, like, doesn't want to yell or anything. So he's like, yo, let's, like, go upstairs. And they started having this whole conversation, and, like, she's saying stuff that makes... literally no sense. Like, maybe I just don't have context, but she's like, you never, like, listen to me. And he's like, I'm trying to listen to you, but you're not saying anything. And then she's just going on and on. She's like, see, that's what I'm talking about. And he's like, what are you, like, she's literally looking for reasons to, in real time, try to make him seem like an asshole. And I'm like, yo, there's so many relationships like this that are toxic to that extent, but they just somehow stay together. And she ends up leaving him for this guy, moves in with this dude. Like, they have basically split custody of their kid and all this types of stuff. And, like, as soon as he finally moves on, because, bro, this shit brought him down. Like, he had depression. He even thought, like, which is, like, morbid as hell, but he thought about even killing his own daughter and himself to get back at her. And he, like, tells her this because there's one night where she comes back over and she has, like, dinner and wine with him. And she basically says, like, hey, have you ever thought about, like, maybe you and our daughter moving to Britain so I can pursue my career. It's like, oh, yeah, so your life matters. Like the whole show, it really just shows her idea of what this whole thing was like, it's me before everybody else type shit. So when he finally moves on, she, like, when she sees him moving on, she comes back and tries to have sex with him. Like, she doesn't want him to move on from her. But yeah, we could talk about that another time.